We started a topic last week called freedom, and this is a topic and a theme that we're going to continue to move in. So turn to your neighbor and say, freedom, freedom. And then ask your neighbor, are you truly free? Are you truly free? And if you don't have a neighbor, it's okay to ask an imaginary one, are you truly free? And the question is to ask, am I free this morning? The topic and the thought that we're going to deal with when thinking about freedom is, but what's in my head? What's in my head? With that, if you have your Bibles, we are going to go to Mark chapter 12, starting in verse 18. Jesus was approached by some Sadducees, religious leaders, who say there's no resurrection from the dead, and they pose this question. Teacher, Moses gave us a law that if a man dies, leaving a wife without children, his brother should marry the widow and have a child who will carry on the brother's name. Well, suppose there was seven brothers. The oldest one married and died without children. Verse 21. So the second brother married the widow, but he also died without children. Then the third brother married her, and this continued with all seven of them, and still there were no children. Last of all, the women also died. So tell us, whose wife should be in the resurrection? For all seven were married to her. Jesus replied, Your mistake is you don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of God. For when the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given to marriage. In this respect, they will be like the angels in heaven. Verse 26. But now, as to whether the dead will be raised, haven't you ever read about this in the writings of Moses, in the story of the burning bush? Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's the God of the living and not the dead. You have made a serious error. And continuing on, verse 28, it says, one of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate, and he realized that Jesus had answered so well, and so he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Verse 32, the teacher of religious law replied, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth by saying that there is only one God and no other. And I know it's important to love him with all my understanding, all my strength, all my heart, and to love my neighbor as myself. This is the more important than to offer. It's more important than offering all the burnt offerings and sacrifices required in the law. Realizing how much the man understood, Jesus said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared to ask Jesus any questions. And so this morning, as we start to break down this story, it starts by talking about a group of people called Sadducees. The Sadducees. These people, it was a party. They were represented by the wealthy, the sophisticated, like all of us in here this morning. They were powerful, they were political, they were religious, and they had some influence. But the Sadducees, there was one thing. They only believed in reading the first few books of the Bible. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And they wanted to come and they wanted to test Jesus, and so they had a question. They had a funny question. They talked about a woman marrying seven different brothers. Now, in my head, if I'm reading this story, I'm thinking there's something wrong with the girl. If she marries seven guys and they all die, right? She's either out for money, out for something, who knows? But they all are gone. And they ask the question, who's the woman going to be married to in heaven? Heaven has so many questions. They ask this question about heaven and marriage in heaven, and it poses a question, and many of us have questions about heaven. If we were to stop and write down all of our questions about heaven, we in here, all of us, I'm sure there's hundreds of questions about heaven. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? Where am I going to stay? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to, am I going to fly? Am I going to be like a, you know, shooting star? Am I going to be flying in heaven? All these things that we want to know, all these things that we want to understand. all the questions, all the doubts, all the unknown. Kind of like life here and now. How many of us, the unknown confuses us? The unknown, it can baffle our mind. The unknown here and now bothers us. Just like the afterlife, heaven or hell, there's many things in our thoughts and our understanding that most of us just don't get. But what we should do is not let the unknown become something we're afraid of. We don't become afraid to die and to face heaven. We don't become afraid of not understanding or fully understanding what's next. To pose a question like, who is going to be married in heaven? It shows the foolishness of the question and the foolishness of the heart of the misunderstanding about heaven. Heaven is going to be beautiful. Heaven is going to be amazing. It is a place that we all want to be. It's just like Hemet, because Hemet is heaven. It's the place, there's two choices. How many of us, when we go to Starbucks, it's real simple. There is, you know, I don't know, 50 choices of what you can have. Started with three choices, tall, grande, right? Venti, black, cream, no cream. Now it has so many different choices. When you die, you get two choices, door number one or door number two, heaven or hell. Hell or heaven, it is really simple. And the people who choose hell will also choose to live hell on earth. The two choices that are simple. If I choose heaven and I live my life like I'm going towards heaven, I can taste and see heaven here and now. But if I'm choosing hell, if I decide to walk the broad road that leads to hell and destruction, I will start to taste and see the hell before I get there. The unknown of heaven. The unknown. Hell is not the place you want to go. It's not the place to think that we're going to party with our friends, we're going to dance 24/7, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. No, it's not. It's hell. It's torture. It's dark. It's disgusting. Choose heaven this morning. The Sadducees in the story, the rich, the sophisticated, they're trying to trap Jesus. But can any of us trap Jesus? Can any of us trap God? No. It's so funny because, you know, you look at the Bible, and many of us in here, we look at the Bible, many of us have favorite verses, sayings, and things that we state, we repeat, and we pray, and we do over and over again. But sometimes the actions of our life speaks. Not that we look to God, not that we trust God, but sometimes we act like we ourselves are God. Was the Bible, was life written just so that God would be here to serve us? Or do you think that we were made and created so that we could serve God? But how many of us live to serve God? Or serve me? Serve me. Serve me. There's so many things in our head. There's so many things that can question, so many things that can build up. And in this moment, the Sadducees, the sophisticated, the political, were confused about heaven. And so Jesus said to them, you know what? You don't know the Bible. For men who had studied, this is their life. This is what they do. They study the Bible. They study, they read, they study, they read, they study, they read. But even in their study time, even every single day reading and study, they still missed it. And I wonder how many of us, sometimes we come every Sunday, sometimes we don't, and I ain't judging, just saying. Sometimes we read the Bible, sometimes we read the Bible app, sometimes we may listen to a worship song, and sometimes maybe we're listening to Highway to Hell. None of us in here do that, but so many things in life that our actions are maybe speaking differently, like these people. They studied. Their life was to study and know the Bible. But what was the response Jesus gave them? You have no idea what the Bible says. The thing that I love about the Bible, the thing that I love about Jesus, he didn't hold back. He said, listen, do you want God to answer your prayers? faith that moves mountains. Ask for anything in my name, Jesus said, and it will be so. But what did he say? First, if there's anybody that you need to forgive, or you have hate in your heart, or you're angry, what did he say? First, forgive. What did Jesus say? If you want to be forgiven of your sins, you have to learn to forgive people. And the thing that, this is the one thing. Now listen, this baffles me. Baffles my mind completely. Jesus, the Son of God who died on the cross. What did he say? If you want to be forgiven, one, your prayers aren't going to be heard if you don't forgive. And you're not going to go to heaven if you can't forgive. But how many Christians do we know and people who walk around hating? Let's be honest. How many haters we have? And even in the church, there's haters. Unforgiving, angry, hate, bitter. Jesus said, if you can't forgive, you will not be forgiven. So Jesus said to the Sadducees, you don't know the Bible. And many people today, there are men and women who have read and studied and been to church every week, and yet they still don't know the Bible because they don't know how to forgive. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to what? Love. But how many of us hold back love from people we don't like? Jesus said the number one thing. When we take a class, when we take a test, we understand there's things we have to answer correctly or we're going to fail. And Jesus said the number one thing you need to get correct is what? Love. But yet, let's be honest, how many of us have a hard time loving certain people? And then we'll say, I love everybody. Your actions show otherwise. Your actions, your words, your attitude show otherwise. If we have a bad attitude, if we can't stop talking and hating on someone, then our actions prove that we don't know. Kind of like the Sadducees, what did Jesus say to them? You don't know the Bible. And then he said to them, you don't know the power of God. And it's sad to me how these men studied the Bible for a living, but yet they still couldn't get it. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, no matter how well they knew the Bible, they couldn't see Jesus. And some of us in here, no matter how many years we've spent in church, we still can't see the little things Jesus wants us to do. Love, forgive, a good attitude. So they start with a common debate. What is the greatest commandment? This was a very common debate that happened all the time. But in their debate and in their discussions about what is the greatest commandment, it was also wrong to put an answer to it. They would talk about it, and they would say, what is the greatest? What is the number one thing that God wants us to do? But at the same time, no one dared to answer, because if you put an answer to the debate, it would spark more anger and more debate. The greatest commandment. Jesus starts out, and they define, what is the greatest commandment? It's just listen. It's funny how it starts by saying, listen. Because it's the one thing that we hate to do when we're stuck in our head. It's the one thing that we hate to do when we're stuck in our head. When we are mad, when we're angry, when we're bitter, even when we're daydreaming, we don't want to listen. We don't want to absorb the moment. We don't want to listen. But they start by answering the debate. What is the greatest command? By saying, listen. The Lord, there's only one in God. There's not 47, yes, we've made 4,700 religions, but they said, listen, there's one God, and he's God Jehovah, the God of the Bible. We should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, meaning all of our thoughts and all of our affection. We should love God with all of our heart, all of our thoughts, all of our affection, with all of our soul, meaning desire and feelings. We should love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, which is our desire and our feeling, with all of our mind, which is our thought, our understanding, with all of our strength, which is our energy and our power. To listen, to confess, to make the statement of faith, God, I love you with everything that I am. It's a statement, it's a confession of faith. God, I love you with every single thing that I am. Jesus responds to the guy, and the second one that he answered is obviously to love your neighbor, or meaning all people like you love yourself. I love Jesus, and I love the Bible, because how many of us can think of one person we don't love like we love ourselves? Do most of us love ourselves? We ain't gonna admit it, right? This morning we ain't gonna admit it, but we love ourselves. Come on, all of us in there, you're gonna lie if you don't love yourself. There's something that you like and love about yourself. And I'm sure there's at least one person who would say, they're really hard to love. Jesus says to the man, you are not far from the kingdom of heaven. And I think this morning it's something that he says to some of the hearts in here. We've heard so many different things, and maybe we've started to understand many different things in the Bible and teachings and scriptures. As Jesus said to this man, this religious leader, you are not far from the kingdom. I wonder this morning what Jesus would say to you. Maybe you are close. Maybe you're at the door of the kingdom. Maybe there's not just the kingdom of heaven, but maybe there's one thing that's right here that you're so close to. Some of us in here, I think God would say, you're not quite there yet. You're close, but you're not quite there yet. Salvation, healing, deliverance, provision. You're close, but you're not quite there yet. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to yoke of slavery, which you have once put off. If the Son sets you free, you are free. And many of us, we've tasted a freedom that Jesus has and what he's given, but yet how many of us, just like Paul said to Galatians, even though we've tasted freedom, maybe have gone back to the yoke of slavery. Someone, something, some thought, some feeling that we allow to dominate our mind. Freedom, it's a state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. The power or right to act, to speak, to think without hindrance or restraint. Our new theme is freedom. What's in our minds? Jesus and the religious leaders said to love God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And so today we're talking about loving God with all of our mind, which we have a hard time doing because 75% of humanity today feels stuck, either personally or professionally. 75% of humanity feels stuck, either personally or professionally, trapped mentally, indecisive, paralyzed by fear, filled with negative thoughts, feeling like I don't have any control, trying to imagine, trying to be creative, trying to be social, trying to be practical, but never, ever bringing it to fruition. Daydreaming. 40% of people during the day spend time daydreaming. And you know what? Unfortunately, sorry ladies, but more girls than guys daydream every single day. The mind, wondering from where we are, who I'm with, wondering, can I get out of here? Who can I get away from? Minimum of 2 hours a day, minimum of 2 hours a day daydreaming. Replaying past events, and these past events that we daydream about actually start to shape our brain for future responses. 80% of our thoughts, negative. Humanity, 95% of the negative thoughts are repetitive. The past, the hurt, the betrayed, the way that we look at other people, it causes, unfortunately, many people to look at others with suspicion or in a negative way. People who say, people who are negative, who have thoughts about others, it says this about them. If you are a negative person, and supposedly Google says 80% of us are negative 80% of the time, every single day. If you're negative towards some person, someone, something, this is what it says that defines a negative person: insecure, low self-esteem, need attention, need validation, envy, jealousy, lack of empathy, mental distortion, repetitive behavior, repetitive cycles, unresolved emotions. Unresolved emotions, grief over someone passing, anger at being betrayed and hurt, fear of the unknown, lack of clarity, purpose, life, and direction. The two men were having a conversation. What is the greatest commandment? Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And 2,000 years ago, I do believe that life was a little simpler than what it is today. But if all these stats are true and correct, then how hard is it for us to love God with all of our mind when we spend a day dreaming, when we spend it being negative, when we spend it being repetitive, when we replay over and over again past hurts and betrayal, when we spend in our mind imagining things that are there when they're not there, imagining evil in other people that aren't there? How hard is it for us as people to love God with our mind? Well, let's be honest, our minds maybe are not all there. And that's not to say we're wacky, and we can look, not any of us in here, because we all, when we talk about people, we talk about people in other churches, right? Not in our church, because none of us are weird like that. But we say, like the song, let's sing and beg God for freedom, when God's word says, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And so let's ask the honest question this morning. I believe the things that I study and read about humanity, because I see negative things everywhere I go. I know many people with hurtful pasts, and they can't get over it. Whether they say they have, they haven't. Bad things happen to everybody, and most people hold on to those, and they can't let go. Bad things that have happened to people, it causes them to stop being able to trust other people. It's the truth. Negative, repetitive cycles and patterns hurts. The truth. Jesus is the most important thing to do. And today we're talking about our minds. So learn to love God with all of our minds. Is your mind, is my mind free this morning? And so as we start to kind of wrap up this morning, we have a couple verses, and then we're going to pull it all together, and then we will close. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But I, the Lord, search all hearts, examine secret motives, and I will give people their due rewards according with their actions. He didn't say with their words, but your words do lead to actions eventually, what their actions deserve. Proverbs 12:11. A hard worker is plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies, imaginations, daydreams has what? No sense. Thieves are jealous of each other's loot, but the godly are well rooted and bear what? Their own fruit. If we chase fantasies, what does the writer say? We have no sense. If we spend 2 hours a day daydreaming about things that aren't really true, trying to imagine things about not being here, about not being there, not being with this person. Thieves, jealous of each other's loot, but the godly are well-rooted, and the godly will produce their own fruit. Proverbs 28:19, a hard worker has plenty of food. I just read that one. But a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. A hard worker who has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. The trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. This was written thousands of years ago, but look at how wise this person was, the wisdom that God gave this man. A hard worker will have plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies, and again, we're talking about our mind, we're talking about daydreaming, we're talking about being negative in our head, someone who can't get, because we're stuck mentally out of our own head. I'm daydreaming, I'm imagining, I'm thinking things that aren't really real. They're not really there. It's not true. I'm thinking and I'm making up stuff because of the things that I've gone through in the past. A hard worker, plenty of food, person who chases fantasies will end up in poverty. A trustworthy person will get a rich reward. But a person who wants quick riches, believe me, it would be so nice to win the lotto. Man, just to buy it, get that ticket, the golden ticket, like Willy Wonka. Man, it'd be nice, right? But if we constantly chase quick riches, what's going to happen? You get in trouble. Philippians 3:18, I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, many whose conduct, their action, shows that they're enemies of the cross of Christ. There's many people who come to church. There's many people who profess to be a Christian. Many people are saying they're going to heaven. But Paul says, listen, if their conduct shows otherwise, then they are enemies of the cross of Christ, because they're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they only think about things here in life on earth. Man, the mind can be a scary, dark place. And if we spend 2 hours there daydreaming a day, and if we spend 80% of the day being negative and repetitive and cycles and patterns and things from the past, wow. We ask for freedom, but does our conduct show we truly want freedom? We want to be free. We say, free us. We say, thank you, Jesus. But do you truly want freedom? Now my last couple closing verses. Mark 4:35, promise. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking in the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then they asked them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Freedom! Freedom! As we start today, freedom. What do we need freedom for? What's in our head? And I don't know what, I don't want to know what's in your head, but God knows. And the question is, do you need to be freed from anything that's in your head? How then do we get this freedom? This story highlighting, illustrating God and his deliverance. Number one, life, just like them, they were told we got to go from A to B. But as they were traveling from A to B, what happened? A storm hit. And instead of Jesus, he knew that a storm was coming, but what did he do? What did he do? He took a nap. He took a nap. He was tired. He wanted a little break. So what did the disciples do? They freaked out. Oh my gosh, we're going to drown. We're going to die. Because what? They failed to recognize who was on the boat. How do we become free? It starts with recognition. Every psychiatrist, every person, everything you study and everything that you look up and in the Bible, how do I become free? It starts by recognizing if there is something that is stuck in my head, I need to recognize it. If there's a pattern that keeps on repeating, I need to recognize it. If there's a cycle from my past of hurt, betrayal that keeps coming back and I expect things to happen, then I have to recognize it. Jesus didn't take them, what, around the storm. What did Jesus do? He took them through the storm. But yet, how many of us, let's be honest, we don't want the storm. We don't want the hard times. We don't want the wind and the waves, unless we're on our surfboard, right? Or we're flying a kite. We don't want wind and waves when it's an inconvenience for us. We want the wind and the waves when it's comfortable, when it's right, when it's easy, and I'm ready to face everything. The disciples had no idea what was coming, but you know who did? Jesus did. Did Jesus say, he could have said, let's actually sit here for another hour so we avoid the storm, but he didn't say that. Why are we so trying so hard to run from difficult things and difficult situations? We're failing to recognize who's on the boat of life with us. Who's his name? It's Jesus. Jesus can get us through any situation. Jesus can get us through anything. It starts with recognizing. They failed to recognize who's on the boat. So the first question to our freedom is God in my boat? Is God in my life? I can say it. I can speak it till I'm blue in the face. But is it the truth? Is there an action and a reflection that shows that God is truly in my life? And secondly, understanding. 2 Corinthians, we're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds, human reasoning, and destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God, because we have to learn to capture rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. In our steps, in our walks to freedom, in our mind, in our heads, when our heads are going crazy, what's the first thing we do? We recognize who's in our life? God. Secondly, what do we have to learn to do? We have to learn to capture rebellious thoughts and teach those thoughts to obey the word of God. When I feel hate, when I feel anger, when I want to hurt somebody, what I do? I take those thoughts and I remind myself what the Bible says. When I want to have a bad attitude and I want to be grouchy and I don't want to be light and salt in what he asked me to, what I have to do? Remind myself, God has made me, right? And our last verse of the day, before we close and pray, Proverbs 4:20, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. They bring life to those who find them, healing to their body. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. 24. Avoid all perverse talk. He said, guard your heart, and then what? Avoid certain things that we talk about. Perverse. Stay away from corrupt speech. Lying. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out the path for your feet and stay on a safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil this morning. And so as we wrap up, we pray. Freedom. A state. A feeling of not being in prison. I'm not in prison. I'm not in prison. I'm not enslaved. Jesus came to what? Set us free. But with that choice, does that mean that I allow him to free me? Or will I walk back and become enslaved again? Because the things of this world are just too enticing. Are the cycles and the patterns of my past, hurt, betrayal, anger, frustration, do I allow them to keep creeping up to make me a negative person, a hurtful person, someone who can't trust, someone who's not loyal or faithful? Am I allowing the patterns of the past to determine the course of my life? The two men having a conversation, it was a debate over what is the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart and all your mind. Can we say this morning we fully love God in our mind? Let's be honest, because some of the things that we read, daydreaming, imagining, cycles, patterns, negative thoughts, it's honest. It's true, right? And how many of us need freedom from what's in here? Well, remember, recognize, capture, and guard your heart, and go and be free in the freedom that Jesus has for you today. Let's pray.